Governor Chris Sununu on this Wednesday morning. Good morning, Governor.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Jack?
I'm good, thanks. Well, you had a busy day yesterday, and let's talk about the budget address first of all. Things at home first, and that is, and one of the big things is a pretty good size pay increase proposed for state employees.
Yeah, look, I mean, you can have all the money and programs and best ideas in the world, but if you don't have the people behind them, it does not work. And the state is not immune from a lot of the issues that other businesses are facing, and that, you know, people are moving around, and, you know, the economy is very strong, so businesses are moving in, a lot of competition. So we hadn't given we always give a little bit of a pay raise, but we hadn't given anything substantial like this pretty much ever. And given the dynamics of what's happening in the workforce, a 10% raise this year and another 2% next year, it was agreed upon with the union. And we just want folks to know that, you know, if you want good customer service, you need people on the other end of that line, and that's what it's all about.
Well, the union, state employees, the SEA, must be pretty pleased with this.
I think so, yeah. I mean, they agreed to it, and I think they still have to go through some of the final details, but they agreed to it, and, you know, negotiations this year actually went very well.
Governor Sununu, what about the economy? I mean, and this is a budget year. You proposed the parameters, the over. Now, I guess the sausage will be made in the House and particularly the Senate. But what do you expect for the rest of the year? Are you worried about revenues tightening up? Are you worried about a slowdown? Because it's tough to read if we're actually going to go into what I would call a definite recession. The Fed inflation numbers were not as good as people expected just the other day. So what do you see for the rest of the year? Is the state in good fiscal shape, and can we afford that pay raise?
Yeah, so no, we're in great fiscal shape. We can afford everything that's in the budget. The budget is balanced, and I actually assume the revenues are going to go down a little bit, and we can still balance it. I mean, I'm very conservative that way. We're still putting something like $180 million into the rainy day fund because, as you brought out, there's no doubt there's going to be some type of slowdown, recession, how big it really is, whether it's stagnation. Does it go on for a few months? No, I think it more stagnates for a few years, frankly, because of the incredibly high prices, the limited housing options across the country. A variety of different things are going to create kind of continual problems for us. Now, New Hampshire will always be ahead of the game. We're very strong fiscally, but you got to plan smart spend the taxpayers' dollars wisely. It is their money. It is not our money, and it's a huge responsibility. Also, getting rid of a tax. We have a right now, Jack, you and I are being taxed on this phone call, right? So every phone call in the state gets taxed in some form. It's silly. It's antiquated. We're going to get that right off the books, and so people don't have to pay that anymore.
I saw from your office, I believe you're off to Naples, Florida. Is it tomorrow evening?
I have an event tomorrow in Naples. That's right. Yeah.
So the question is, you form this 501c4, this Live Free or Die committee, which allows you to raise unlimited funds outside of New Hampshire nationally. If you do, in fact, end up deciding to run for president, you're seriously considering that. And I guess my question is, if you were to make that decision at some point, and you're a very strategic thinker, what would the timetable be? Would it be after the legislative session? Would it be early summer?
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any rush. I think most candidates understand they probably got to figure out what they're doing by late summer, early fall, something like that. I mean, most potential candidates are in that mode. So I haven't really thought, well, I'm giving a date and this is what we're going to do. New Hampshire comes first, and I got a busy legislative session. We kind of pick our moments when folks invite me to go speak or to do something. I'm always happy to do it, but a lot of times I can't either. I was invited to things yesterday, but I'm delivering a budget. New Hampshire has to come first. So we got to pick our moments to do that sort of thing. But, you know, it's clear people love the New Hampshire model outside of this state. They want more of what we do. They want that libertarian attitude. They want folks that can get stuff done regardless of who might be in Congress or somebody that can actually kind of change the attitude. The line I gave last week, I was down with the president and all the other nation's governors in Washington last week, and I said very loudly, I said, look, this town has an attitude problem. And I think that everyone would agree with that. Washington just has this attitude problem that not just people are kind of tired of, but it prevents them from getting good stuff done. And I think overall everybody wants to see just a change down there. And Lord knows New Hampshire's got a great model, so a lot of folks are looking our way.
Governor Chris Sununu on Good Morning New Hampshire, GMI Studios. Governor, you have a pretty good record on elections if you look at the last four running
pretty
for
good.
Two-year term.
Pretty good. Come on, man. I think I'm a little better than pretty good.
Well, you were even better than the Eagles and the Chiefs record at the end of the season.
There you go. There
so
you
my
go.
Question is, you look at, I don't think you'd run for any office if you didn't see a path to victory. So first is the nomination, then is the general election, if you were to run for president. And that's obviously this week with ABC and some other networks are getting you on a lot, talking about with intrigue. You said a few weeks ago, I think on ABC this week, correct me if I'm wrong, that regarding Donald Trump, and I'm paraphrasing, you don't think he can get the job done in 2024 if he were the nominee running against Joe Biden or anyone else. Can't get the job done. Could you get the job done if you were the nominee? Can you get the job
done?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no. I mean, that winning in 24, in terms of, look, if I decide to get in the race, it means I firmly believe I can win. It has to be for the right reasons. It has to make sure that we don't sacrifice anything here in New Hampshire. It has to be sure that it's a message that can be delivered. But winning in 24 is actually, that's the least of my worries, and nothing I'm really overthinking right now, because there's no doubt America is looking for what this New Hampshire has. New Hampshire, America loves this model. Now, how you work through the primary, you don't want to do anything that bangs up other candidates too much. I'm a Republican, lifelong Republican first, and I'm going to support the nominee and all that. So, you know, making sure, if anything, we're getting the conversation pulled in the right direction, that's actually my top priority. Making sure we're expanding our base. I don't see any candidates talking to the next generation of Republican voter. That scares me. And so that's a part of our mission as well, talking to those independents, giving them, you know, some hope and optimism to get back on the team, to make sure that we are there as a team in November of 24. So my first and foremost priority from a political standpoint on all this national stuff is expanding the party and kind of getting back to a better attitude, if you will, so people feel inspired and hopeful about getting on board. Because if not, it's going to be hard for anybody in November.
Well, certainly some would say the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, is looking at this as well. And I noticed something, and I'm going to ask you straight up on this, because I've been talking a lot in the show about this. You formed the Live Free or Die. You're passionate about Live Free or Die, the motto. You know the meaning. You grew up here. You know the state, the independent feel. Live Free or Die is the name of your 501c4. DeSantis has got this Freedom Lives Here in Florida right on the every time he speaks now. So my question is, when we talk about freedoms, I've been talking a lot, and I think the CDC on this survey that came out Monday is 3 years too late, saying that a lot of the COVID policies, in my opinion, not policies, not COVID, really has done a number on young people with mental health, anxiety, depression, suicide, especially young teenage girls and thinking about hurting themselves. And you know this as a parent. So we did a number on kids through a lot of this, and I know the information was what it was at the time. DeSantis kind of did his own research and changed course in Florida after a shutdown, and it stayed open even when things were spiking. When you look back on New Hampshire and the executive orders and the stay-at-home stuff and the stay-at-home orders, do you regret that in hindsight? Do you feel bad about that in hindsight now?
Jack, we didn't have any stay-at-home orders. We were one of the most flexible states of the country. New Hampshire was ranked number one for personal freedoms during COVID.
Wait a minute.
Stay-at-home orders? What are you talking about?
I remember distinctly when I was doing the show, I had to get a FEMA permit to drive for 2 weeks because it was a stay-at-home. Maybe it wasn't an order, but you recommended people stay at home. Am I right or wrong?
No. Hold on. Businesses stayed open here in New Hampshire. Did we have a time when we shut all the businesses down, Jack? No. Come on.
I'm talking about, hold on, school. Hold on.
No, I will put my record against anybody else's. We were one of the first states in the country to insist that kids get back into school and get rid of the remote learning way before everybody else.
And I applaud you on that, because the remote learning did a number on kids. I'm talking about, I thought in the very beginning there was a stay-at-home, was it a recommendation?
Order? No.
Was it a recommendation?
We had the National Guard out, making sure people didn't leave their houses? Come on, man. That's not fair. You can't rewrite history like that. We are ranked number one by the Cato Institute for personal freedom. A state that has stay-at-home orders does not have that ranking, and that's over and above Florida, okay? So, I mean, please, like, you can't rewrite history. We are lauded across the country for being the most safe and still having the most flexibility.
Governor, I'm the last person on this earth who, unlike some people on the other side of the aisle, who try to rewrite history. I just remember the two-week period when I was the only one on the road going to do the show in Manchester because I thought everyone was staying at home.
Look, a lot of people said, hey, we're, you know, don't come in. Like, you know, everyone, those first 2 weeks, the entire country came to a grinding halt. But we did not have stay-at-home orders. Those are two very different things.
And then finally, on the remote learning, I remember talking to you on the show because you and I were saying these kids need to get back into public school. And some of our large districts like Manchester, Concord, Nashua, the kids were still at home and we have local control. So there was this period there that you agree that I think that schools stayed remote learning too long, correct?
Until we forced everybody back in. I mean, we let a lot of the school districts, as virtually every state in the country did, make their own choices. And then eventually we said, okay, once the vaccine came out, we said, get them in. And we got pushback. I got pushback from folks in the Department of Education here And I said, no, these kids are going back into school. And I had to fight hard. I actually pushed back on our own commissioner on that kind of stuff. These kids were getting back into the classroom, and thank God they did. Now, most of them were already in the classroom, but for some of those last holdout schools, we finally had to put our foot down, and it was a win for everybody.
And finally, electricity rates. A lot of our listeners have been checking in. I'm going to let you go on this. Is there anything we're doing? I know you've talked about a fund for people that can apply, but some of these bills now, and the head of Eversource, as you know, wrote the White House and requested more natural gas for this winter. I know that right now we have mild temperatures, but we did have that cold snap a week ago. So my question is, on electricity rate relief, looking out, what can you say to ratepayers, and what's available for help if they're having a hard time with the bills?
Yeah, so look, there's still LIHEAP funds available. We've expanded the ability to get LIHEAP. A lot of folks don't realize they still qualify. Go down to your or pick up the phone or just go online. You can apply online. It's a very easy process to your local CAP agency to get fuel assistance. A family of four making up to like $100,000 can get assistance right now, and that's a huge opportunity. Now, long term, over the next year, I think, you know, clearly, I think we have the second lowest rates in New England right now. Those don't look like they're skyrocketing anymore. If anything, they're going to start coming down. But long term, we're in a different dynamic because New England, and we all share power in New England, as a whole, has shut down power plants and shut down capacity, and it's made the whole system less reliable. And lack of flexibility within the system is what really drives rates up. So I'm meeting with other governors. I met with the other governors in Connecticut, Massachusetts, all over New England just this past week on this issue. We need to make sure that LNG storage facility in Massachusetts doesn't close. That's at risk of closing within a year. That would be terrible, and most people understand that. We have more opportunity for hydro out of Canada, whether it's through Vermont or Maine or maybe even New Hampshire down the road. So we got to add more electrons, more base power generation into the mix. And I think everyone finally realizes that. New Hampshire's been doing it right, but the other states, I think, have made some very, very poor politically driven decisions that have put the whole system in a much more fragile state. So long term, I think we're going to see rates go down. I'd like them to go down even further, but that only happens with additional power capacity. I mean, significant power capacity across New England as a whole.
You're a good sport. I'm going to let you go. Do you think Joe Biden's running again?
You know, he wants to run. I don't know if he gets there. I mean, I'm really kind of 50-50. I think he definitely wants to run, but I think there's too many people that don't want him to run within his own party, and they're going to be kind of vying for that opportunity. And given that we have the first in the nation primary, whether he runs or not, there's going to be a big challenge on the Democrat side here in New Hampshire.
Governor Christensen, thanks for a lot of stuff. I appreciate the time and patience.
Thank you,
have a great Wednesday.